Our God is with us.
And also with you.
This is a story that's taken from the Gospel of Matthew. At the sight of the crowds, Jesus' heart was moved with compassion for them because they were troubled and they were abandoned like sheep without a shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, the learners, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for God's harvest." Jesus then summoned 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to drive them out, to cure every disease and every illness. The names of those were first Simon, who's also called Peter, his brother Andrew and James, the son of Zebedee's, his brother John and Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon from Cana, and Judas Iscariot. Jesus sent out these 12 after instructing them, "Do not go to pagan territory or even a Samaritan town. Go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, make this proclamation: the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I want you to cure the sick. You are to heal, to raise the dead. You are to cleanse the lepers and drive out the demons. For without cost you have received, and without cost you shall give." People of God, hear what the Spirit is saying. I'm not going to go into deep depth about talking about the second reading or some of the stuff in the first reading, but you saw what happened with the transcription at the responsorial about evil people. Sometimes we miss things and even AI can't figure it out. And we have to, you know, go a little bit deeper in understanding what it's really about. In the first reading in the book of Exodus, the writer says, "You have seen for yourself how I treated the Egyptians and how I bore up on eagle's wings and brought you here myself. Therefore, hearken to my voice and keep my covenant." Now, what was his covenant? According to Jesus, the covenant is to love God with your whole heart, your whole mind, your whole soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself. So, and Exodus goes on, "If you hearken to my voice and keep my commandments, you shall be a special possession, dearer to me than all other people on the earth. You shall make me for me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation." Now, if we believe this, what does that mean? Recently, several people came up and said, "Why do we keep using these readings that say, you're my special people, and we're saying everybody's welcome?" Amen?
Amen.
That question ever come to you?
Yeah.
So, to ask the question makes a good point. One way we might interpret that story is that we're separate, and we're above all else. And just as you can see, many churches believe that. They say, "We've got the only one who has the word." But if we look deeper, the writer is talking about being an example to the nations, that all are welcome, especially those from the outside. If we go on what he says about keeping to my covenant, this covenant says to love God with your whole heart, your whole mind, your soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself. You know, in another place he says, "Who is my neighbor?" It's a Samaritan. Why does he go on and say that don't go to these Samaritan nations and don't go to these people? Well, if you go out there saying you're a Christian, and you go out there hating people, and if you go out there putting other people down, what does that say about Jesus? He never did that. And are you really following the covenant and what it's about. We read that he says, "You shall be this kingdom of priests, a holy nation, though all the earth is mine." What he's talking about there is all this is ours, is God's. Everybody is. Even the people we struggle with, even the people we really butt heads with, they're a child of God too. And that's what he's calling to us. And to go out there without first getting myself right in that, I'm a real hypocrite saying I follow Jesus when I really don't. There's a piece that I just picked up this past week. Listen, they say, you know, all these religions, especially take Christianity, how it began is a Jewish gathering. And they began welcoming other people outside. It was like a volcano. There was a fire that lit up those people. And that's the way the Holy Spirit is described. It's fire. It's in a cloud. That's how God is. It's all this ephemeral stuff. And what happens to us is that once we get going, it's like a volcano. It turns into rock. And we say, this is the only way of seeing God. This is the only way that we can do this. And that's not at all what Jesus seemed to be saying. He was saying that I can't do it all. What pushed Jesus to that point? What the gospel says is he looked out and he felt it in his heart with what the people was doing. He felt their pain. And the people who were out there were all kinds of people. Everyone was there. And he was there to welcome them. He was talking about a collective power. Because what Jesus understood is, I can't do it all. Can you do it all?
No.
No. We need each other, and we need to see the goodness and the power that's within us. Listen to what Matthew's Jesus said. He says, as you go, make the proclamation that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, is Jesus all with compassion? It's a visceral, gut-level empathy. Scholars say that this is a political, subversive emotion, and it demands the churches to address social, economic suffering for all, rather than merely spiritual platitudes that we make into rocks, that's the only way of seeing it. He says, you go out and cure the sick. Who are the sick you need to go out and cure? Because if you're a disciple, you're a learner. If you're an apostle means that you're one who is sent. It's not a story of position, although we've made it into that, where it gets solidified that way. He goes on and says, you go out and cleanse the lepers. Who are the lepers in our community that we need to go out to? You go out and drive out the demons. How do we do that? The only thing that drives out demons is love, as far as I'm concerned. For without cost, you have received, and now cost, you're to give. Following Jesus is not transactional. That's a different thing than Jesus talked about. We are to go out and proclaim that, and we're to do it by our everyday living. One of my mentors a long time ago, he said, this is a step-by-step process that we got to do. And the step-by-step process is, first, what happened to Jesus? He saw the crowds, and his heart went out to them because they were troubled and abandoned. They were harassed, and they were helpless. He had compassion, and Jesus was aware of that compassion. How often do we go out and not see the pain and the hurt and the struggle and the difficulties others face? What's it like to go up as a gay person and have your parents reject you? What's it like to be a person of color and never see your full rightness within the community? What Jesus is saying is that we can make a difference, but we first have to be aware of the people who are hurting. I'm going to ask you, what percentage of children in the state of Ohio have food insecurity? It's 25%. Do you ever think of that? 25% of the kids. And we don't necessarily know that. 13% of kids, they come to school every day without food, without a breakfast. But we can make a difference. Do you know that part of our tithing went to the food bank to help feed those kids? That it went over to Sinclair's food program? Because we can make a difference. We can't do it all, but we can make that. Dayton Montgomery County recognizes the LGBTQ youth are highly vulnerable demographic due to stigmatization and lack of family support. The Trevor Project shows that 43% of youth have seriously considered suicide. 12% have attempted it. Trans and non-binary youth are more higher. We participated in that Pride Rocks that was addressing that issue, welcoming people. We participated in what went on with that. So this first piece is becoming aware of what's out there. And when we become aware, we begin to understand. You know, there were 4,500 people last year in 2025 who died on the street. On December 21st, every year, there's a memorial for those who die in the street. And they take the shoes of those people and put them up on the wall. LBC people were there. We need to be about that. What's the second thing in this progress? First is to be aware. The second thing is we have to develop a practice of prayer. What does Jesus say? The laborers are few. The harvest is plentiful. Ask the master to send laborers into the field. And that's what Jesus did. He prayed with his 12 apostles, those who were sent, not by position, but those who were sent. They were everyday people. They were people who weren't acknowledged by the system and the structure of that day. And he sent out. And what did he say to them? You go out and heal. Because Jesus knew he couldn't do it all. You go out and cure the lepers. Because he knew he couldn't do it all. He was sending us out. He was democratizing the message of service and what that's meant. He was taking it down where it is something for everyone. He was getting rid of hierarchy. And that's one of the reasons why the scribes and Pharisees didn't like him. Because it says your position doesn't mean anything if you don't do something. And all of us are called to do something. That third step that it is there, is we need to invite others. So the things that we see happening and are brought to our attention, we need to invite others and let people know. Did you know this? You know there's something you can do. And not everybody can do everything. But each of us can do something different. And in that, that's what this body of being part of Jesus' body. You know, Jesus said, I am going from here. And the reason he said that is because if he stayed, we keep on looking to him and saying, oh, Jesus will take care of it. No, he says, we need to take care of it. We need to be part of that healing. We need to be part of that openness and acceptance. We need to take a look at our prejudices. We need to take a look at our way of possibly look down on others. And sometimes it gets into a paradigm that we're not even aware that we look down on others. That's the challenge that I fear for me, is I have to take a look at what are my prejudices? What are the things I don't even know that I'm pushing others away or I'm blinded from seeing them? And that's that piece of awareness. and then to pray and to have a prayer practice that gives me the strength, gives us the strength. That's why we gather here on Sunday, as a prayer practice to send us forth to do that healing and to bring that. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's here and it's now. It's not something about going to heaven. It's not something about being lifted up. And all that stuff really only came about in the late 1800s, where people began to talk about that. It's about following a man who was a Jewish man. I think his name was Jesus. And he was born out of wedlock, and that made him someone who was looked down upon by all the people of his time. He had no rank in his day. He had no stature in any of the systems he lived in. He was just a carpenter or something like that, whatever a carpenter was in those days. And realize he was just an ordinary person like you and I. His practice of prayer led him to see that he was a child of God. That 40 days he spent out in the desert, it's not 40 days, it's a time he spent as a practice of prayer. And he got connected with the divine. And in that practice, it allowed him to see with his heart. Nope, Jesus never called himself a savior. Other people did, but he didn't. Because he was in touch with his own struggles, and he embraced them. He could see others with compassion and not with judgment. He knew that he could not do it alone. And we need to learn from him. We can't do it alone. We need each other's support and growing so that we can go out and touch the downtrodden, the poor, the outsiders, to welcome those with our hearts and freely receive what we've had and freely give what we've been given. The world is a better place because Jesus came and gives us that invitation. Are you raising your awareness? That's what we need to do every day, not to look past others. Are you overwhelmed and afraid? Yeah, some of the stuff that's happened is scary. But Jesus says, don't be afraid. We can do this together. Develop that practice of prayer, because he's not calling Peter and James and John. He's calling you all by name. He's calling me by name. Do you hear him calling? The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Cure the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse the lepers. Drive out the demons. For without cost you've received, without cost you are to give. And I'd like to open for your comments.